Saddle up your horses.
Welcome to Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter. This is the program that proclaims liberty to the captives of our beloved nation, where truth trumps political correctness, where the uncompromised Word of God exposes the works of darkness and sets free those held hostage behind the iron curtain of a shamelessly biased media. For God has called us to stand for truth, and having done all to stand, we will stand. It's time to fight the good fight of faith to preserve our country, our families, fortunes, and sacred honor, to protect our property, our schools, and yes, maybe even salvage some of our churches. America, we have a trail to blaze. It's time to saddle up. It's time to ride. Now, here is your host of Red Sky Radio, Rob Walter.
Well, hello, America, and welcome to the Robin Walters Show. God bless you all. Boy, we've got so much to fit in here today, as always. It's always the case. But I'm going to start with good news. I'm going to end with good news, I promise, today in between. Well, we are going to try to do sort of a COVID wrap-up. Maybe. I don't know when it does wrap up, but I've got some things that you have to hear today. God's given me out of His Word, and we're just going to get rolling here. But first of all, good news. My home state, my new home state, if you will, of Arizona, I am thrilled that they are the first state to sue the federal government over the phony vaccine mandate of Joey Biden. I feel honored to be part of that. The state is still got enough righteous political muscle to do the right thing in some areas. It's got great gun laws. It's the most gun-free state in the United States. It's got some great leaders. It's got its ne'er-do-wells, political ne'er-do-wells. You've got the leftists from California that try to go every place and pollute things. But the state is sort of holding its own, and I'm just thrilled that they're the first ones to sue, notwithstanding the fact that we have now confirmed that there are over 170,000 votes not counted in Maricopa County, which is Phoenix, in the 2020 election, and for that we know, I guess we know what we've known for some time, that the election was in fact stolen. It was. I'm tired of the left trying to gaslight me and everybody else. They're not going to do that. They're not going to get me. In fact, if they keep trying to gaslight me, they're going to end up torching themselves. They'll put themselves on fire, which is what the left does. It's what the devil does when he overplays his hand. But a couple of other things before we launch into the topic of the day is another piece of good news, actually. I guess I would say it would be. But it's actually the beginning of what I consider to be prophetic fulfillment. You've heard me talk about the secession of states ad nauseum. I've talked about it for 15 years because I know that it's coming. I know that. It's just, and we've covered biblically, scripturally, why that is the case, coming out of the book of 1 and 2 Kings. And it's a recipe, not for disaster, it's just a recipe of our future, as a feature of what happens when a country walks away from God. Because man can only be ruled two ways, by consent or by force. And we got the Joey No Brains, I'm Your Left Wing Puppet, Mr. Incompetano Biden performing the latter by force. It's not by consent, it's by force. And so the vaccine mandate, first of all, it's not a vaccine. Second of all, it's a mandate. Number three, I'm not going to follow it. I don't plan to run a company of over 100 employees. I've spent a good part of this week encouraging people to read and understand what's behind this. And I've had some great success in what were probably ordained meetings with people I've never met before. But the follow-up along the secession line is, I don't have his name, but the legislator in New Hampshire, who is introducing into the New Hampshire legislature a proposal that, if passes, would put the secession of the state of New Hampshire on the 2022 ballot. We got to get out of Dodge. He said this is time for this state to be a separate and independent country. The New Hampshire motto, as you well know, is live free or die. And of all the screwed up states in New England, and they pretty much are all screwed up, New Hampshire is the last best hope in that section of the country. Trump almost won that state. In fact, he probably did. He probably won every state that he almost won. Because if you take out voter fraud, I don't know if there's voter fraud in New Hampshire. Maybe not. Maybe Biden legitimately won it. But he barely won it. Republicans have always been in play in New Hampshire. And God bless them. That they of all states could be the first one out of here. Well, people, I talked with a fellow from New Hampshire yesterday. He said that's never going to happen. I said, don't be so sure. He's not a believer. But I said, it's going to happen. I just don't know where and when it's going to happen, but it will happen. And as things seem to grind and crunch their way for the past several decades into the end times, things seem to be picking up speed at an alarming rate into the end times with this announcement 2 days ago that the European Union, the EU, is looking at, for the first time ever, having an official, fully flushed out, fully funded European army. I thought that was pretty interesting. Now, I don't think the Antichrist comes out of Europe, but as I don't think there's any question about what Europe, a so-called United Europe, plays a role in the end times. Because I think based on Joel Richardson's book, a fabulous book called The Islamic Antichrist, he's convinced me through scripture, through geography, through history, the Antichrist indeed is Islamic. Now, I would have said that would have excluded Europe as being a possibility, except now the French have come out and said they fully expect France to be an Islamic country by 2050. Well, I think it's going to be faster than that. So I guess it is possible that the European Union would indeed be at the center of this, but only because of the growing probability that it is Islamic. The California elections, I don't even really want to, I mean, Gavin Newsom, goodness sakes, I don't even really want to spend time on that. I mean, could voter fraud have made that difference? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. They arrested that one guy for drugs, found 300 ballots in the back of his car. You got other people who've testified that they've received between 10 and 15 ballots mailed to their house. You have the Republicans who showed up at the polls and were told that they already voted. You have people who are getting ballots at a home where it was addressed to somebody who lived there 10 to 15 years earlier. So you see, voter fraud is all over the place. The only question being, was it really needed in California? I think the state is so screwed up, it probably wasn't needed. But Democrats get used to doing things. They get used to lying, cheating, stealing elections. They have a new plan, a new way of doing business. They want to employ it wherever they go. And so you end up with the numbers that you ended up with. But it gave way to an insight that came to my wife. I want to credit her with this, and I think she was spot on. She said, the Lord, I got to get her approval to share some things that the Lord shared with her. But this one thing I can share, and that is because she asked the question, how could Biden, who we attribute to being stupid, and he is stupid, he's done, he is incompetent, he's a puppet, but what does his stupidity give way to? This stupidity gives way to, of course, maximum influence by the puppeteers, by his handlers. But the insight she was given was, why do the handlers, even though Joe Biden is the convenient no-brainer to convey all stupid things. I mean, he hasn't done one thing right. Everything is the worst president in U.S. history. And that's what I said before, that he's the one pride and joy of Barack Obama, because now Barack Obama is not the worst modern-day president in U.S. history. Joe Biden is. And he did it in record time. But why does the left think that they can get by pushing this maniacal, brain-dead Joe Biden, who doesn't even have enough brains to know that he shouldn't be at the mic asking people, can I take questions? And look at his handlers and saying, am I supposed to stop talking now? Goodness gracious. How could you be so bold and so stupid and bold to, as his handlers, to push him out front? Because all of his handlers are guilty of elder abuse. That's clear, including his wife, including Kamala Harris, and all of them. But why could you be so confident that you could get by with such stupidity, such immorality, if, A, you didn't have the media on your side? I mean, even Joey's handlers are trying to figure out when to get him to shut up. But why would you think you could push it so fast and furious, to borrow an expression from the Obama administration, if you thought this was their insight, that there was any real possibility of losing the next election? She had a point. If the voter fraud is so wired into the system via mail-in ballots and everything, giving driver's licenses to illegals in California where they're automatically enrolled for voter registration. You get that in California. You register to vote when you get a driver's license, and illegals get driver's licenses. How could you push this if you didn't think, if you weren't convinced as his handlers, that by way of voter fraud you have so permanently corrupted the system that you will never lose another election? And she's absolutely right. Now, whether they do or not is in God's hands, and then partly in our hands. Do we repent? Do we do what's necessary? Do some pastors finally chuck the robes of political correctness and have the guts to lose their tax-exempt status so highly favored and treasured that they don't have the cojones to say what needs to be said from the pulpit? Does this country actually thunder from the pulpit like it did in the mid-18th century, leading to the fight for freedom for American independence? Does the country repent? Do we get back to that point? Well, maybe we do. I don't know. I don't think so. I personally don't think so. I've got some things that warm my heart, which I want to share later in the program, but I don't see that change coming. It never came really under Donald Trump. Donald Trump changed things, but the hearts of a lot of people, from a matter of repentance, did not change. The country moving on inexorably towards Sodom and Gomorrah. But do we get there? Do we have that kind of thing? I don't know. So God is ultimately in that control, but whether he turns it over to whatever, I don't know. Except that right now the Democrats absolutely do think they can't lose a future election. Not because they're popular, not because they have the most votes. Donald Trump got more votes than any American president, and he lost. And our population did not grow by an amount to make that happen between 2016 and 2020. Just reason number 74 for knowing that the election was stolen. So I can't say what's going to happen, but I can tell you for a fact that Democrats think that they have the system of voter fraud so wired, so down pat, that they really don't have to be afraid of losing another election, which allows them to go fast and furious with all the devil's demonic things for the destruction of this country as we move quickly toward the end times. Well, we're in the end times, towards the end of the end times, let me put it that way. All right, I am going to shift here to cover some COVID things, but one, I want to lead with something that is of extreme importance, And you'll see the biblical connection when we get to the end of this. And I got to make sure I get this in. But the World Health Organization, the WHO, the WHO, has recently issued guidance. Now, what they say as guidance isn't to guide. I mean, I can get on a tram at an airport and it says that, this happened multiple times, that governmental guidance requires us to wear masks. Well, wait a second. If it's guidance, we don't have to do it. But they'll call it guidance, and then they'll talk as though it's a mandate, and they'll say this is the rule, this is a regulation per government guidance and CDC guidance. If it's guidance, it's optional. It's what we suggest. But it's not mandatory. Reminds me of Bill Clinton calling taxes contributions. Well, they've come out with guidance, which means that this is the way it's going to be. But we'll call it guidance because we need to run this sucker up the flagpole, let the people bounce off the walls, then we'll move forward with guidance implemented in the form of mandates. But they've even couched this guidance dictate, sounds like an oxymoron, it really is, but this dictate is a form of interim guidance. This is a report that the World Health Organization recently released that they're calling not just guidance, but interim guidance, meaning there's more guidance to follow, meaning more mandate to be implemented to follow. So you need to hear this and hear it closely. The interim guidance says that we need to capture vaccination status to protect against other diseases. That's the headline portion of it. It's not just COVID anymore. It's about other diseases as well, so-called. But this is just interim guidance. Because the final guidance will mean that the purpose behind this thing that I'm going to tell you about here is much broader than capturing vaccination status to protect against other diseases. And that's a quote from them, but they also admit that there's more involved. They are preparing the implementation of a digital documentation of COVID-19 certificate called DDCC for short. And write that down, DDCC, which will act as the agent to present and review vaccination status, history of infections, and test results in digital form. They're not having it with the cards. The cards can be forged. So they're moving to a digital thing. Now, I will tell you, the digital things can be faked as well, which is going to lead to something we'll share in just a moment. But to be able to, they have to have proof of vaccination, and per the WHO, World Health Organization, it will be for proof of vaccination and for purposes, hang on here, other than healthcare. They've said this, for purposes other than healthcare, it's beyond vaccine, because the vaccination thing is just interim guidance. But then they let out the end game is to be used for continuity of care or, because they still want to say we're definitely going to do this, or as proof of vaccination for purposes other than healthcare. Well, what would be a purpose other than healthcare for which you would have to prove vaccination? Fair question, right? So let me go back to this. We're going to use this DDCC for establishment of the continuity of care. In other words, are you continuing to get the COVID updates, the vaccination updates? Because unless you get the latest one, unless you get the new and improved booster shot number 8, you're not fully vaccinated. Trust me, they will continue continuously move the goalposts as to what constitutes fully vaccinated. So they just drag you along with the crappy COVID hook in your mouth, leading you to one more vaccine after another for continuity of care, or, and this is the big word here, or as proof of vaccination for purposes other than health care. Just what might be a purpose other than health care would you have to prove that you're up to date with booster shot number 9? Maybe to buy a gun. Maybe to get, they'll call it health care, but it's something other than health. Maybe to buy food. Maybe to see a doctor. Maybe to get Medicare, which really is about health care, but it's a political control item. They've just admitted it. Or proof of vaccination for purposes other than health care, i.e., to buy and sell. I'm going to get to that passage here, which I got to bring out here before we get to the break. But this is what they've already established will need to be on your digital vaccination card or digital vaccine, whatever form it is. Your name, your date of birth, a unique number, a national ID or international ID number or on your card. It won't be your Social Security number. I mean, why not? Well, because doesn't have uniform application to a geography broader than the United States, does it? No, it doesn't. Or it might be a health ID number. What number might be in that number? Let you use your imagination for a minute. But a unique number, only for you. We're thinking only for you, so we're going to have a unique number which will be used internationally. Your sex, whatever that looks like these days. Your vaccine type. The brand of the vaccine, the manufacturer, the market authorization holder. The batch number of the vaccine, the date of the vaccination validity date, so it's valid from when, the dose number, the total number of doses, the country of vaccination. Well, you see, if this was used only in the United States, you wouldn't have to put down country of vaccination. Where it was administered, the signature of the health worker's ID, the disease targeted, or the name of the disease that the vaccine was given to protect against, the due date of your next dose. Not if, but when your next dose will be required. The certificate issuer, the health certificate ID number, the certificate validity date from, and when the certificate validity ends. And they've also gone on to say this is not a conclusive list of information that will be on the digital certificate of vaccination. That's not the end of it, folks. There's more coming to a town near you. Well, why does this apply? How does this apply? Okay, if there are purposes other than healthcare, what would be the easiest thing for them to limit? Your access to buying food. Buying and selling anything, whether it's guns, whether it's tomatoes, whether it's a new car or a life insurance policy. You got to prove this. Now, I need to point out something here that is very interesting. All right, I was nursed and grew up spiritually on the King James. I got saved as an adult. I fell in love with Elizabethan English. How about that? I could understand it. I just had to read it 5 times, but I got it. In the King James Version, the original or the revised reads the same. It does not read the same in the New King James, and I have to point this out. Revelation chapter 16. I'm sorry, chapter 13, verse 16. It's prior to that, it's describing the Antichrist and what he's going to do. The beast, the Antichrist, is very clear. It starts, you could really just read all of chapter 13 to give you the lead up, but we don't have time to read that entire chapter. So, beginning with verse 16, and it says, he, meaning the beast, the Antichrist, will cause everyone, all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of the name. And then verse 18, here is the wisdom, let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Or in other words, the number 666, the number of the beast, the Antichrist. So I'll just posit this as a question. Would somewhere in the number given to each person that has a digital vaccine card, certificate, have the number 666? I don't know. But I want to point out something here that's very, very important. The New King James, which I spent 10, 12 years with, and now I am chronicling all the differences between the New King James and the King James, because the differences are severe, significant, they're numerous, they are not just an updating of the language. Don't let anybody tell you that. That's bogus. Either they're lying or they're just simply misled. The New King James says that he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. On. The King James, written 400 years ago, said the mark would be in their right hand or in their foreheads. You see, when the New King James was written, which was, what, 1980, about there? 85, somewhere right in there, 40 years ago? There was no thought that something could be digitally inside you. First of all, we didn't have digital things. Didn't even have digital thermometers 40 years ago. Didn't have digital anything. It was an analog system. And so I think the writers conclude, those who did the writing of the New King James concluded that must be a mistake, and they changed the word in to on to accommodate what was the then present level of technology. And now they look stupid. They look foolish. They obviously almost seems blasphemous to go in and change it because for reasons thinking that technology would prove the King James Version to be wrong. Or the lack of technology, whereas technology now proves the King James to be absolutely correct. The mark will be in your right hand or in your forehead. If you've gotten the vaccine, do you have that? Have you taken the mark? No. But the digital vaccine card with the numbers and where might it be placed so that it can't be faked digitally? Inside your body. In your body, in your hand, or in your forehead, where they just have to scan you. And every time you get a vaccine update to show you're fully vaccinated, that's what's necessary, maybe, to be able to buy and sell. You see where we're headed, don't you? Rob Walter, we'll be right back with Robin Walter, so don't go away.
Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter is a listener-supported program. Please know that 100% of your contribution goes to pay for airtime so that as many people as possible are able to hear that the Word of God has answers to every meaningful problem and issue in life. No one gets paid a salary at Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter, but in response to your support, we pledge to bring you the most timely and critical information you need to help make informed decisions in this age of media bias and a growing hostility to all things Christian. Your partnership makes you one of the watchmen on the wall with us, as described in the book of Ezekiel. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you. 18 weeks.
life, the one that he loves.
Rob Walter back with the Robin Walter Show here. I'm going to run through some COVID alleged pandemic facts here, just to run through them so you can get a sense of how much you're being deceived. And I'm going to finish this segment with a piece that you won't, well, you will believe. I think you will believe it, but it leads to the, you know, the Facebook, the Googles, they say, well, there's all this misinformation. They'll call what I've just shared with you misinformation. What they share is disinformation. It's absolutely designed to disinform you. Not to misinform, to disinform. They're actually proactive in fighting against the truth. That's disinformation, a term that actually really came out of George Orwell's book, 1984. So in Germany, they've started doing autopsies on people who have died after they got vaccinated. That's not to say that every death after vaccination is a result of a vaccination. No, because everybody's going to die, right? It's appointed unto man once to die, then comes the judgment. But where it's relatively close in time and for no other known causes, Germany, unlike the United States, is actually spending money doing autopsies. And they have concluded here from Germany's chief pathologist that somewhere between 30 and 40% of all post-vaccination deaths are from the vaccination. Here you go. Done by the Pathological Institute of the University of Heidelberg. They stated that the COVID-19 vaccine has caused the death of 30 to 40% of those who died shortly after vaccination. Now, whether that's 2 days or 2 weeks or 2 months, I'm not sure exactly on the time frame, except that I know that I have a couple of law clients. One in particular died very shortly after the second Moderna shot, otherwise in superb health. And what does he have? A supposed heart attack, myocarditis, which they're acknowledging is what is causing younger children to die, who obviously are in good health, from the vaccine because they get myocarditis. Hospitalizations from COVID infection in Israel, 90% of those hospitalizations are by people who were vaccinated. They've gotten COVID bad enough after the vaccine, and now they're hospitalized 90%. You see, the problem is not the unvaccinated. The problem are actually the vaccinated, who with a mild form of symptoms don't think they have anything and go around and they infect the unvaccinated. Except that if you have had COVID, the Israeli study here also indicates that if you have had COVID, you absolutely should not get the vaccine, that you have a 700 to 1,000% greater probability of getting the Delta variant if you take the vaccine after you have had COVID. Man, put that in your pipe, Fauci, and smoke it, you little lying, sneaking, cheating, greedy piece of crap. But, of course, Anthony, I say that with all due respect. So Biden, of course, announces a vaccine mandate for 100 million. You know, I don't mind him doing that because I don't actually object to the devil getting bolder, because that's what's necessary for good and righteous people to finally get it, to wake up and smell the coffee, the roses, and communism all in the same sniff. And then to begin to push back. It actually has to get worse very fast. If it gets worse slowly, we're just that frog in the pot. And we don't seem to sense it. But the devil has to push it. So go push it. Go mandate vaccines for every single person in the United States, Joey baby. And then you'll see what the second American Revolution looks like. And quoting from this article by, who did write this? I want to give them. Want to give him the Art Moore from WorldNet Daily made this. He said amid Biden's push for a third booster shot to address the declining effectiveness of the vaccines, which I got to interject. Imagine if a measles shot wore off 30 or 40 years later. But this is wearing off 3 and 4 months later, not 30 or 40 years. That's why it's going to be booster after booster after booster, which you'll have to record on your digital card. You're going to have to say no to the boosters, because I think that's how you're going to say no, maybe, to the mark of the beast. But amidst his push for a third booster shot to address the declining effectiveness of COVID-19 vaccines, the FDA is facing a potential mutiny among its staff and outside vaccine advisors, several of whom feel cut out of key decisions and who view the plan to offer boosters to all adults as both premature and unnecessary. A former FDA official said top vaccine officials Marion Gruber and Philip Krause quit because they were angered by the agency's lack of autonomy regarding approval of the COVID vaccines. Did you hear the buzzwords there? The agency's lack of autonomy. What did we say? The FDA is just simply becoming yet another governmental extension of the Democratic Party and the intimidation tool of a left-wing government, and has no independence whatsoever. That's why people are not moved by the so-called Pfizer FDA approval, because the FDA has turned into a bunch of left-wing hacks under the gun of a left-wing government. And what will the left-wing government do if the FDA doesn't do it? They'll cut off their funding. Follow the money. It's pretty easy. And to see how things have gone downhill, and Dr. Ryan Cole, I've quoted him before, but he's come back out, and he owns medical labs and things, and he's a pathologist and all that. He owns medical labs in Texas. He's come out and stated that there is a 2,000% increase in a host of various cancers post-vaccination. 2,000, that is a 20 times increase in various cancers in people who have been vaccinated. He said the important cells called the killer T cells, which have a indispensable role in a person's immunity, better known as the CD, as in computer disk, CD8 cells. These CD8 cells, but called the killer T cells, are plummeting and are beginning to produce a massive immune system dysfunction. Will you hear that from Fauci and the Faucinistas? No. Will you hear that on ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, CNN, or Fox? No, because their primary advertisers are Big Pharma. You're not going to hear the truth from them. They've just turned into whores for the pharmaceutical industry, and they will not bite the hand that feeds them. And the COVID vax that is now causing autoimmune disorders has been admitted by none other than the former, this is why he's former, vice president and chief scientist for allergy and respiratory research at Pfizer, by the name of Dr. Michael Yeadon, Y-E-A-D as in dog, O-N, if you want to look him up. Michael Yeadon, he's a British professional research scientist with degrees in biochemistry, respiratory pharmacology, and he's got a laundry list, which is why he was former vice president, chief scientist for allergy and respiratory for Pfizer. And he has come out and he has said there are serious concerns about the safety of these gene-based so-called vaccinations, especially. Now, hang on here. He wasn't even focusing on the cancer side. His research is in a totally different area. So you've got Dr. Ryan Cole talking about the 20%, 2,000% increase in post-cancer-related diagnoses of vaccination victims, if you will. This guy is saying there are, quote, serious concerns about the safety of gene-based vaccinations, especially related to reproductive health, fertility, and pregnancy. Basically, what he's saying is all of our lab rats are screwed up and had birth disorders. We're not far enough into this to know the consequences of how many stillbirths, how many involuntary abortions there will be, miscarriages. And guess what? You can't sue Pfizer, Moderna, J&J. No. They have been the only ones who are truly immunized in this country, truly immunized, are the pharmaceutical countries, because they have been made immune from lawsuit by Congress. They're the only ones immunized. They can't be sued. So why would they give a rat's rear end? What happens as long as they're making billions? And they are. The Freedom of Information Act brought to light a report that shows that the coronavirus does not stay local around the point of injection. That in the rats, but keep in mind everybody that's taking the vaccine are the lab rats now. But the Moderna lab rats, the Pfizer lab rats, showed that the vaccine distributed itself around the body of the rats. It didn't stay local at the point of injection. Yeadon says, he says, to my horror, says Dr. Yeadon, what we find is that the vaccine doesn't just distribute locally around the point of injection, but it washes out. It concentrated in the ovaries of the rats, and concentrating at least 20 times the concentration in other background tissues like the muscles. So what Yeadon is saying here is that in the rats, the vaccine localized in the ovaries 2,000% greater than it localized in muscles or other parts of the body. Do you think that that would cause a problem in women? Duh. And it happens to be the same number, totally unrelated in research to Dr. Cole, who is saying that there is a 2,000% increase in cancers, more among women than men, but among men too, I believe, for those who have taken the jab. You see, the FDA approval used to be based on a standard that you didn't have to, you had to prove that it didn't cause harm. But that's not the standard anymore. The standard is that somebody else, to not be approved, somebody else would have to approve that it does cause harm. So you'd have to prove that it does cause harm. Well, you can't prove that yet when it's only 6 months old. But the old standard was you had to prove that it doesn't cause harm, which takes multiple years. And they don't have that. And they didn't have that. The lab rats have died or they had birth defects, basically for all of the alleged vaccines. You see, not only did the FDA have their arm twisted by a left-wing administration or they don't get any money, not only did the FDA change the definition of a vaccine so that they could call this a vaccine, where until now it was experimental gene mutation, basically. But now they have changed the standard for approval under this pressure. We don't have to prove that it doesn't cause harm, the old standard. Somebody else has to prove that it does cause harm. There you go. And the CDC has stopped reporting so-called non-severe breakthrough cases. They've admitted this. And they aren't doing autopsies on breakthrough cases that cause hospitalizations. the fact that Israel's hospitals are overrun with COVID cases, with people dying, the hospitals are overrun, and over 90% of the population has been vaccinated, tells you that the severity of the post-vaccination complications is huge. The CDC says we're only going to report the breakthrough severe cases leading to hospitalization or death. They aren't doing that. Because if they did that, as we reported earlier in this program, you would see that these cases are coming from vaccinated people. The hospitals are being filled with vaccinated people, and the people that, and the ones that say, well, it's children filling them up. No, it's children coming in for other reasons who happen to be diagnosed positive for COVID, but the problems for which they were admitted have nothing to do with COVID. Sort of like the guy in Montana who died in a motorcycle crash, and they called it the COVID death because before he died, he actually tested positive for COVID, even though it was internal injuries from the motorcycle accident that killed him. But they counted it as a COVID. And this is just one of a gazillion things. And, of course, you have the new, I wish I had it for today. I don't have it yet. But Project Veritas that gets a tape sent to him by people at a hospital in North Carolina, which says that they discussed how do they scare people into getting the vaccine. What tactics can they use to put abject fear in people? Well, we know that, but we now have it on tape. They need their derrieres fired, lose their medical license, and be sent to some remote island with no food and water. When you're trying to scare people into doing something that can cause death, you ought to go to some place where the risk of death is prominent, like a deserted island. And you figure out how to live. If you're doing that to humanity, you are no better than Nazi physicians that were working on ways to do whatever they wanted to do to the human race. This is just unbelievable. Well, you know, the fact of the matter is over one-third of the people don't believe the health officials, and that number may be growing. It's why the Pfizer alleged FDA approval did not move the dial anywhere for anybody. And the CDC website says, quote, no vaccines are 100% effective at preventing illnesses in vaccinated people, but that there is, quote, some evidence, not a lot, they don't give the evidence, just say some evidence that the vaccination may, not certainty, make illnesses less severe for those who get vaccinated and still get sick. So get that. The CDC is admitting that there's only some evidence that the vaccination may make illnesses less severe. That's sort of like a fraction multiplied times a fraction. So if there's a 60% possibility of some evidence and only a 60% possibility that it may make it less severe, you have to multiply those two fractions, which means there's only a 36% chance that what they're saying is true. That means there's a 64% chance that they're lying. I can't even get to the end of what I got to do. I got to save this one thing for next week about understanding the CDC's misuse of the airwaves, because I promised I would end with something good and encouraging, and I'm going to do that. Two things, actually, if I can fit them in. Number one, I was traveling this last week, went to Ann Arbor, Michigan, my alma mater, to the Michigan-Washington game, which obviously has a Michigan side. Michigan won. It was on September 11th. See, people say, aren't you a little concerned about September 11th being in the largest stadium in the world, which holds 111,000 people? And I said, No, God's got me covered. I'm supposed to be here with some other people, my sons. We had a great time. But when I was at the University of Michigan, it was in the 70s. Tail end of the Vietnam War, ROTC Center got blown up by Students for Democratic Society, or anything but Students for a Democratic Society. But they blew it up. The weathermen had their office there on the Michigan campus. I had to fight my way into some classes that got shut down by radicals. All that negativity God used for good, and it helped turn me to the Lord. But what I saw then wasn't fun. And I haven't been the biggest fan of my own alma mater. But when I'm back there, it's a 9/11 presentation. But what do they do in the stadium? They say you should wear a mask. Guess what? There was 108,245 people, none of whom were wearing any masks in the stadium. But they were there to honor the dead, honor the heroes, and they brought out, and 188,000 people stood still and listened to a man. They said, "We are now going to play Amazing Grace." And I thought, Amazing Grace in the big house in the Michigan Stadium? My goodness, has this changed. And so they play Amazing Grace on the bagpipe, and then they roll out a football-sized flag, football field-sized flag, while a young choir from Detroit comes to the mic, and they sing God Bless America. And then an F-16 flies over, and then 30,000 students, and we were sitting in the student section. My son's got the full experience. 30,000 students. I mean, they took up a big part, or 25, hard to say, but they took up a big portion of 111,000 capacity stadium, all started chanting USA. And when it stopped and they went to something else, they came back. When the Goodyear blimp came over with the American flag showing bright over the stadium, and they started chanting USA. I never heard students chant USA. There were even less drunk students than I remember 40-some years ago. And it did my heart good. I thought that there is some level of patriotism at my alma mater. They're chanting USA. Oh, my goodness. I fought back tears on a couple of occasions. And then the second thing that I need to share with you. While traveling, I went to a store to buy some things. And what I bought came to $6.63. Remember that number, $6.63. I went to my money clip and my change in my pocket. I had a 5 and a 1. There's a 6. There's a 6. I didn't have 63 cents. I had 53 cents. And I was going through an automated machine, you know, self-checkout. That's what I was trying to get to. And then I had a 50. And I didn't want to use a credit card for a $6 purchase. I don't do that. In fact, I'm carrying more cash using a credit card less. If you heard some of the beginning of this program, you know why. But I thought, I can't break a $50 bill for a dime. I don't want to do that. So I was sort of grousing. Well, no, I wasn't sort of grousing. I was grousing. I can't say, well, I was like grousing. Well, were you just like grousing, or were you actually grousing? Or were you just like you were grousing? No, I was grousing. I didn't want to break that $50 bill for a dime. But I got to. So I put the change back in my pocket. But while I'm putting the change back in my pocket, one penny didn't make it into my pocket. It fell onto the floor and rolled underneath the self-checkout thing. And I thought, doggone it, I am not going to lose that penny. I got down, reached under there to get the penny, and guess what? The penny had rolled up to right next to a dime. And I thought, oh, God, you are so good. I dropped the penny rolled to where the dime was that I was short, and I gleefully pulled out $6.63 now and paid for my purchase. But what I saw, what I sensed, and what has given me encouragement, and why I am sharing this crazy little story with you, is that God is still in charge. He still cares for us. He cares about every little bit of our life. And he uses incidences like this to say, hey, Robin, whatever he calls me, Robin, I don't know. He gets to call me whatever he likes up there. I want to show you something. I want to show you how much I care, that I still care about you having the right change. But more than that, I want to show you by you having the right change that I got this thing. You just have to trust me. Just simply trust. You're going to do some things that won't be fun, won't be popular, but you just have to trust me. This is Robin Walter encouraging you to sit tall on the saddle. Remember, you ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. God bless you. See you next week.